Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about all the Disney Plus news from the past week. So we're going to be talking about the new Willow sequel series that's in development by Ron Howard. We're going to be talking about the new Spider-Man and Marvel shows being created by Sony. And also we're going to be talking about those Marvel shows that were announced for Hulu as well. And it is May the 4th, so we're going to be talking all about Star Wars and what's going to be on Disney Plus, because, well, why not? So before we do any of that, just a quick reminder as well, go check us out over at whatsondisneyplus.com. You can like us and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We've just got our Facebook group as well, just had over 500 members this past week. So feel free to join us over there to join in the conversation. And if you haven't already done so, make sure you subscribe on the YouTube channel, and you can subscribe on the audio platform. So before we get into any more of this, before we jump into the news, I'm James. What have you been watching this past week?
Not an incredible amount. I guess mostly just getting caught up on TV. Part of that was Star Wars Resistance. I've been several episodes behind on that. I like it, Star Wars Resistance, but it hasn't captured the magic that either Clone Wars or Rebels had. Granted, Clone Wars took a while to get going too, so we'll see. And it might make a difference once episode 9 comes out and they can maybe tell stories that aren't stuck in, oh, we already know what's going to happen territory. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's about it for the week.
Yeah. For me, I've been plowing through, nearly done on season 3 of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and working through that on Disney Life. That's been my main one in the evenings. Watched a number of TV shows that we normally watch, the ABC shows, Grey's Anatomy, Station 19, Good Doctor, etc. Big thing here with like Line of Duty. And you know what? I even watched Baywatch on Netflix yesterday.
The movie?
Completely, yeah. I'm going to be honest. That was a lot more fun than I was expecting. But it wasn't a Disney movie. But it had The Rock. It had Maui. It's been a kind of cool thing. This week, it's been kind of weird on Disney Life. There's been loads of stuff. You had the Marvel Spider-Man and the Big Hero 6 cartoons have dropped on there. So I'm going to watch on there. They really ramped up the amount of stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but there seems to be a lot of stuff being loaded on there at the minute. So there's been plenty for me to kind of catch up on, but I want to kind of get Clone Wars out the way before I start any other TV series, because I'm so far behind on Clone Wars. But nevertheless, let's jump into the news this week. So the big news really was Willow. Ron Howard appeared on the Happy Sad Confused podcast from MTV. And he was talking about, quite openly, about that they're working on a show for Disney Plus, or the Disney Plus, as he called it. The writer from Solo is apparently working on it. It's become his kind of baby. Ron Howard originally directed the original movie from back in 1988, which was made by Lucasfilm and starred Warwick Davis and Val Kilmer. I like the movie. I've watched it quite a few times. It's kind of one of those ones I remember watching a lot, but it's okay. It's not in the same vein as everything else, but I would like to see them carry on. Apparently, it will be a continuation 30 odd years afterwards. I don't know what you guys, what you think of it.
I mean, I don't have too much of a connection to Willow. I've seen it at least once, but I don't remember anything about it. So for me, it's cool that they're bringing in a well-known franchise, continuing it, not a reboot, not a an extended storytelling of the same story, that kind of thing. I guess the real question will be if Val Kilmer is attached in any way, shape or form. But yeah, for me, it's just like, it's cool. It's another win for Disney Plus to have a well-known property, but I'm not connected to it at all. So.
Yeah. It's funny because this one, I've really noticed this in the comments and on like YouTube and Twitter and stuff. This is like one of those things of certain generation grew up on it and love it, but there's a whole generations underneath that have completely skipped this. They have no idea what it is. So it's going to be interesting to see where this plays, whether it can pull in new ones. Apparently George Lucas wanted to make a series years ago, but I think there's that kind of thing of television didn't really sit in the 80s and the 90s really high up. It was kind of movie directors and stuff. They kind of didn't want to take a step back to television. Whereas, like, now, that's not really the same case. They all get paid the same, so it doesn't really matter so much. But the fact that, to me, that Ron Howard is on a podcast talking openly about having discussions about this series, it's either one of two things. Either it's very strongly that it is going ahead, or more importantly, he's just fueled some fire on it to see what, to see, kind of stoke Disney to see if they'll actually do it or not.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the first time a director has thrown out an idea that doesn't actually yet have traction, but heck, I think you could probably argue that Deadpool kind of ended up in that case, but and it won't be the last either. Mm. But if he's confident enough to go out and talk about it, it could put some pressure on Disney to at least maybe take it to a pilot episode or a script reading or something like that. But I mean, we'll have to wait and see. So
I think as well, it's a good, very good way of seeing the judge of interest as well. And everyone picked the story up. Everyone's been running it. The likes and the comments show me that there's an interest in this franchise. And Disney will probably know that as well, be like looking at going, okay, yeah, people are interested in this. And they're all doing Lipsis tests, seeing what Disney are very much pulling on that nostalgic pull for Disney Plus. And Willow, yeah, it's a good franchise. Something that, because it's the kind of thing with Lucasfilm, there's a lot of franchises that they have in there that we really, they sort of, Star Wars and then maybe Indiana Jones are the only two really that's kind of been pushed forward. And so Willow, yeah, I could kind of see that. It's also great. I mean, for Warwick Davis, you know, means he doesn't have to do these terrible Saturdays, like weekday like quiz shows that he does over here. Tenable, that was, I can't stand that show, but nevertheless, I do like Warwick Davis. I think he's funny. He's especially in so many different movies and stuff. So I would love to see them kind of continue on with that.
I actually thought he was retired. That's why I didn't mention him earlier. But okay, if he's still going, then yes, it will also depend on whether or not he is attached.
Yeah, no, he does lots, and he's still been in all the Star Wars movies. I think he was in he's been in pretty much every one they've done. So he seems up for it. So that seems good. Let's flick over now to Marvel. So there's kind of two stories this week. First off, let's talk about Sony. So Sony kind of have announced that they've signed a deal with Phil Lord and Chris Miller, who were one of the creative teams behind Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. They've also been behind, I think, another one. I think the Lego movie. I also think they were behind Solo, a Star Wars story, till they got kind of booted and Ron Howard had to take over. So they've signed a deal. They were with 20th Century Fox TV. Now they're with Sony Pictures, a 5-year deal, apparently in the 9 digits, so that's in the millions. And they are going to be developing a number of new shows for Sony, including ones based on Marvel characters. And kind of this was an interesting one because it came up and they were talking about it and they sort of said, you know, this is a extremely grateful to Sony Picture Television for tuning to partner with us and to expand our enduring relationship with the studio. Together, we aim to make groundbreaking works of the highest quality and integrity and to place that work in a convenient proximity to your eyeballs and earballs, wherever you may be. So very much kind of, they're looking to make shows for TV and streaming services. Now, this ties into some previous comments made by somebody else from Sony saying they're working on shows, including that for Disney Plus. Now, instantly, if you're making a Spider-Man cartoon, you've got to think Disney Plus is high on the list of where it's going to be going.
I would assume so, unless there was a pre-existing agreement, you know, with Netflix, maybe, because I know Ultimate Spider-Man was on Netflix for a while. I don't know where the current Spider-Man show is residing in terms of post-broadcast.
I know the second season of Marvel Spider-Man is coming back later this year, so they've kind of confirmed that.
Right, they've confirmed that it's coming back to television, but they haven't confirmed where season, as far as I know, I haven't been paying close attention, to where season one of that show can be watched on demand or streaming.
It just got added to Disney Life this week in the UK, something's going on with it. But I think the important thing to hear, and this is what comes up with anything to do with Spider-Man, is you get the comments from people going, they can't do that because Sony owns it. It's like, no, Sony have the movie rights to certain characters. Mm-hmm. The fact that they're making television series means that's a whole other ball game, which means they'll have to, Marvel and Disney will have to be involved in it. Basically, Disney have to have said to Sony, would you make us some TV shows? Because Disney have already stated that they are working with third parties to create content for their platforms. And the thing is, what some people might not realize, Sony actually already makes shows. They make The Good Doctor and The Goldbergs. both shows are on ABC. They're both made by Sony. They're not, you know, they're not made by Disney. So they've already got this relationship. And I actually think this strengthens the idea of Sony and Disney working together, because now it's like, oh yeah, you're working on, you can have the Spider-Man video games, you can make us some television series, we'll keep Spider-Man in the MCU, you do your thing, we all win, win, win. And I think it's part of a grander deal going on with between the two companies to make sure that stuff's going on. Because, you know, Disney were actively promoting Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse. It seems to be like this kind of thing of like, yeah, okay, we've got, you know, scratch our back, you scratch our. They seem to be working together a lot better. And this, was, to me, was just a pure thing of going, yeah, these guys are working very closely together now.
Yeah, and it's been mutually beneficial for both companies. I mean, obviously, Sony is making out because they get the primary revenue stream from any movie that says Spider-Man on it. So Into the Spider-Verse, Homecoming, Far From Home. But they get the added bonus of having Spider-Man's exposure that much higher because he's in Infinity War and Civil War and Endgame, possibly. And I don't know if we...
Well, spoilers are coming out this week, but yes, we know Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out in a couple of weeks, so
he's there.
Hasbro announced Spider-Man toys today, so.
But in any event, Sony is happy to be getting the benefits of having Spider-Man be a major character in these movies, even if they don't get a direct revenue stream from him. And I think both companies are perfectly fine with kind of that symbiotic relationship going on there. Not the Venom kind of symbiote, the other kind of symbiote.
Yeah. Well, also as well is if Disney are getting shows out of Sony, they get what they want, and, you know, extra production space, and they're not doing. And also they get that, you know, everybody's getting money from this. And also I think the idea of them all being, I think now that Disney only have to deal with Sony, there is only the one company that they're having to work with. And Spider-Man, you know, they've got the rights to the cartoons, the video, you know, they have, so Sony have to ask them permission and go through them for probably for creative control. And probably Marvel have got some level of control over this. And then maybe Marvel just turns a blind eye to things like Morpheus and Venom. But we could see stuff coming through on television series. It just, to me, it looks like a mutually beneficial deal. Sony don't want to be selling it, but at least they're working together. The fact that we could see an animated series based on Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and even that, we could see other, they could be working on like an Avengers cartoon, or we don't know. You know, it said Marvel properties, it's just the fact that Sony and Spider-Man tend to go together and expect to see it. But yeah, it could be anything.
It could be. And that's kind of what's fun about Spider-Man, is even though Spider-Man is the focus, there are a lot of different things you can do with him, and there's such a wide range of characters in the Spider-Verse now that you could do almost anything you want at this point.
Yeah, and that Spider-Verse movie was so good and did so well that, yeah, you can see them set that up. I'm really hoping that they've done a deal that is going to be on Disney Plus, because I think that would be a big coup, because they are licensing movies in from other companies. I really hope that they do work with Sony on getting some of this stuff. Even maybe the other five Spider-Man movies, that would be a nice addition. But we'll have to wait.
I'd be fine with the first two. The other three are bonus, but I'd probably never touch them.
Yeah, and it's nice to have them on there. So let's talk about now some other Marvel shows. So this week, Hulu had an event in New York, which they held at Madison Square Garden, where they announced a number of new shows. They announced the subscribers are going up, doing all this. All sirens are at my end, not at your end. And the thing is, they announced two new Marvel shows. So one is based on Ghost Rider, which is going to continue on with Robbie Raines, who we saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4. Yeah, so I think Gabrielle Luna. He is returning to the role, but he's not a directly sequel or prequel to the TV show. It's kind of like its own separate thing. And then also they've announced, Hellstrom.
There's only one L in it, but it's still, well, depends. Sometimes it's got one, sometimes it's got both. And I think it's both the brother and sister duo, if I remember correct.
Yeah.
On this. And at least by the comics, Damian Hellstrom, Storm, Strum, let's go with Strum. is one of the rulers of hell, or he's a son of one of the rulers of hell. And then his sister is sometimes a bad guy, sometimes a good guy. And
So they are apparently they are the son and daughter of a mysterious and powerful serial killer, and they have the siblings have a complicated dynamic as they track down the terrorizing worst of humanity, each with their attitude and skills. They also announced that the Runaways are returning for the third season on Hulu. Now, I was kind of, this kind of announcement really kind of caught me off guard for a couple of reasons. First off, I mean, Hulu now have got, not only have they got these three Marvel shows, they've also got the animated series. They've got like five animated series that leading up to the Defenders like event. I'm like, wow, Marvel are really going in on Hulu for the more adult side of Marvel. And I was like, okay, they seem to have got a direction. You know, 1 week you got Kevin Mayer talking about how all brands through Marvel will go through Disney Plus through other windows before eventually ending up on Disney Plus. And then the next week, okay, now we're two new brand new live action shows. And you're like, okay, this is different. This is like, what a message are you trying? So I can see why they've done it, because the Netflix shows hit a certain target audience which Disney Plus can't hit. And maybe then, you know, Hellstrom and Ghost Rider are kind of in that Marvel Knights territory along with Defenders, where they're a little bit more edgy, a little bit darker. So I think Hulu is probably the natural fit to do them justice. I think it's probably a better fit for them. But it's like, it's really sending mixed messages about where they want their Marvel content.
Right. And it's also possible that there's, again, some pre-existing contracts in there. And that sounds weird because they own both Hulu and Disney Plus, but that's not exactly how it works. So it's possible that some of this stuff predates some of these deals. That does seem unlikely the farther along we get. So I think the most likely thing is, regardless of that, it's what you were saying. They want to keep a kind of a mostly clear divide between the stuff that's really, really for all audiences and stuff that may be a little bit more mature.
I still think that Cloak and Dagger and Runaways are eventually going to come to Disney Plus anyway, because they can just put up the first season and the second season and have the premieres on Hulu. I think they're still going to eventually turn over, because there's nothing really too edgy with them. You know, okay, Runaways has got, you know, lesbian kiss stuff, but it's quite tame, and it's nothing in the same light as Luke Cage or Daredevil. And I don't think that these two new Marvel series on Hulu are going to be as edgy as they are on Netflix. I still think they're going to be a little bit tamer than what we used to.
Right. I would agree with that. Particularly the ones they just announced, there's nothing in them that really goes full on mature. Sure, hell is in the name of one of the shows, but even then it's, without having seen it, you know, there doesn't have that same history to it that, say, Daredevil has, which has always been kind of skirting the line of mature readers over at Marvel. It's always been a very dark storytelling. I shouldn't say always. It has been mostly a dark storytelling. There's been it didn't start out that way, and there's been a little blip ever in there. But other than that, Frank Miller's run onward, it's been pretty much just straight darkness. But yeah, even Hellstorm doesn't have that same kind of thing. Now, what I'd be interested in seeing is if they bring Patsy Walker over from Jessica Jones. And I know they can't really do a direct crossover because of the Netflix deal, but Patsy Walker actually plays a pretty big role in Damien Hellstorm. But they could also completely avoid that storyline and just go off the side.
The problem is that Jessica Jones season 3 hasn't actually even aired yet.
True.
So the contract states, I think it's like 2 years. So until Jessica Jones drops, it's 2 years from then. And apparently, like the other week, they were talking, some people were talking at the event and saying that basically Disney can't even touch these characters for 2 years, along the lines of, I mean, some people are going, well, maybe, you know, they can film the whole stuff and just have it all set ready to go 2 years later. It's like, no, they can't even do development apparently the contract is quite, there's basically been told, leave it alone. The only good thing is, I mean, time's clock clicking on. I mean, we're nearly, what, 6-7 months since Daredevil and Iron Fist got dropped. They just announced a deal with this, the guy that was making Iron Fist. He's signed a new deal with Disney ABC Television. So, you know, he's still on board. But, yeah, it's just this kind of, we're in that messy period where there's stuff not coming. But I'm really glad that they've picked it up. You know, we've got so many Marvel TV shows in production. We know we've had loads cancelled. We've had The Gifted, Legion End is coming back this month, but that's finishing on at the end of this one. You know, we've had all the Netflix stuff, but then they're coming and going, well, you've got Winter Soldier, WandaVision, you know, Loki, you've got Runaway Season 3, you've got Cloak and Dagger, you've got now these two new Marvel shows. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has got two seasons. There is actually still quite a lot of Marvel shows coming.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely looking forward to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. most of all, but their lineup remains impressive. I just wish it was kind of more focused on where it released, but a couple years from now, we'll kind of see how this all shakes out, and
yeah,
you know, maybe we'll be able to look at all this and laugh at how absurd it was to have all the Marvel shows spread across everywhere.
Well, I think that was the thing, is it was all part of, essentially, you've got to look forward from 2020, everything changes, you know, they've not been signing new deals, because I think it's like things like Runaways and Cloak and Dagger, you know, it's like over here, they've been chucking them on, like Cloak and Dagger's on Amazon Prime over here, and Runaways is on Sky, but all those deals are all short-term things, and that's kind of the key thing. There was actually an article this week over in Australia. Stan, they signed a deal with Disney back at December, and they literally only got the Disney movies and shows for 1 year. And they're standing there at this event going, we're still working with them and we want to work with them, but we'll work with anybody. And they're looking at it going, yeah, Disney, it's like, you got a boost of subscribers, but that was a short-term boost. It's like, you're looking at it going, you're listening to the bloke talking and going, yeah, you're not sounding like you're trying to convey that you've got something, but everyone's there going, I haven't.
But what else can you say? I mean, exactly. You have to treat it as business as usual until it's not. Mm.
So that kind of runs through most of the news. I'm just going to have a quick look here. See, there was another event. The Disney Channel Fan Fest took place in Disney's California Adventure last Saturday, just after we recorded. And during the events, they had a lot of stars from the Disney Channel show up. They did panels. They showed us a new trailer for, like, Descendants 3, which is coming out in August on the Disney Channel, so expect that one there to be on there. Lots of other Disney shows, things like Just Roll With It, which is like a new improv comedy show. Lots of new animated stuff, like new seasons, like DuckTales, Little Green Thing, and I've seen some trailers and stuff for these ones, and it's like, okay, this is cool. I mean, the fact that they did their own little event at Disneyland, they had all the cast there, they had all the crew, you know, they were announcing their own stuff. I was like, yeah, this is kind of quite cool. And the fact that Disney Channel are, like, taking it upon themselves to have their own little event, take it place at Disney, keep it all, you know, and they all had a sing and dance section, and they all got to perform, and I was like, it actually was very well done. I was quite impressed with it, and I do like The Descendants, and I'm going to be giving a couple of those animated series, that kind of thing of, like, getting into some of the other ones that have been come out. But I also quite like the idea of this role of it where they were being, like, eating bugs and having stuff thrown on them, just stupid stuff, which you've got to love.
I mean, honestly, I didn't watch it. I did read the coverage of it, of course, and saw some trailers when they popped those out. Most of the stuff here isn't for me, but again, this is Disney Plus. Most of the stuff isn't actually going to be for me. I still haven't seen The Descendants. I've seen part of the movie because I went to a July 4th party and they had it on for the kids. So I saw like 15 minutes of it. I think that was enough for me, to be honest.
Yeah, I just remember because I was in Disney World when it came out and we were at home and my wife had fallen asleep and it came on the television. And it was one of those things like, I just sat through the entire Disney Channel. It's like, okay, it was fine. It was fun. It's like, this is the thing with those Disney Channel movies. They are just, you know, they're light, they're fun, and that's what they do. And Disney Channel do them great. And, you know, they have that audience that loves them. It's like things like Zombies that got added to Disney Life as well the other week. So I'm going to watch that one there. And yeah, it's just great to see them kind of doing this. They've, at the end of the day, I'm viewing very much like the Disney Channel is going to be one of the key content producers of stuff. You know, to me, anything that's got the word Disney in the title, which pretty much everything on the Disney Channel does, it's going to be safe to say that this is going to be a big thing for Disney Plus. Now, they're providing 5,000 TV shows. They're providing the majority of what's on going to be Disney Plus.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I was getting at a moment ago. There's all this stuff on the Disney Channel. You know, we saw all of these announcements from this little event. And while for me, none of them were really, oh, this is something I got to keep my eye on. Maybe the DuckTales one, that's about it for me. It just shows how wide they're going with the material, though. It's perfectly fine if not everything is for every single person, because it's impossible. But as long as there's enough for each individual set of tastes, then Disney Plus will do fine.
There was also a new trailer, a new sneak peek of a new animated series called Amphibia, which is about like a frog and a girl. And I'll be honest, I really like I was really impressed with the art style. And I think it's that same thing as well of like Disney are really ramping up on their animation. They're really kind of making, and a bit like the things that we had with Gravity Falls and stuff, where they are good enough that adults can watch them too. There's, you know, the little jokes and stuff, and you can definitely see that coming through, and the artwork is great. And they know that there is that tide over, and you know, the people that like this will grow up to watch other TV shows. So we're going to see that sort of phase through going through the different animation. But I think the animation of it just looked great, and you know, just very interesting.
It looked very familiar. I couldn't place where I'd seen that animation or that art style before, but it looked like something I'd seen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it did give off Gravity Falls for me. And it's not like necessarily the writers and stuff. I know he's not involved in it, but I think the art style and stuff seemed very, very similar to it.
Maybe that was it. I've never seen Gravity Falls. I've been told that I need to watch Gravity Falls. Mm. It's on the list. If it's on Disney Plus, then maybe.
Yes. This is the thing. This is where the on-demand system comes through, because the thing is, it's like over here for us, of the Disney Channel was locked behind, like it was always locked behind the movie package on our cable systems. And so you had to have the movie package to get the Disney Channel. And I never needed the movie channel, because I've always would have rented it or seen it on the movie. Then it was like everything I wanted to see, I'd usually seen. So I wasn't going to pay that much for the movie package. So that's the problem over here. It's always been that way. And now, I mean, I have a Disney Life for years, but the streaming app is they live stream the free channels through Disney Life as well. You can watch them at any time and watch them. But I think just watching live television just doesn't generally click very well with me anymore. So I have to wait for them to come onto Disney Life. And so what happens is there's at least like a year's wait. And I'm really hoping Disney Plus in anything like this. And this is that weird thing of where I've already had access to to Disney's streaming platform for years, and I use it all the time, but there's so many issues with it that I'm hoping that get fixed. There's lots of things I want them to go forward with it, but there's some issues. And the thing is, a lot of it is they don't do day and date. They don't do not even day and day after. It can be a year afterwards. And movies, they have to go through Sky, through Netflix before they hit Disney Plus. So it's like 4 years. We've only just got Moana on there. That's how long it's been taking to get stuff on there. Beauty and the Beast, the live action one, has just dropped on there. You know, Disney Life just takes ages to get everything. It's like Big Hero 6. We've only just got season one this week. You know, this is how long everything's been. And that's why I'm really hoping we get a real improvement in the speed of it. Should be the same top day or the day after it airs on the Disney Channel.
Yeah, and that's probably simply because, you know, it's a regional release on Disney Life. I suspect that Disney Plus will have a much tighter release schedule. Mm. They've already told us what some of the launch lineup of, you know, talk about Captain Marvel being on it and stuff like that. It won't do them any good if they launch with Captain Marvel and then we don't see another Marvel movie or a new Marvel movie added for 3 years. The selling point of Disney Plus is going, this is where you're going to go to see the Disney properties in a relatively timely fashion. Obviously, I wouldn't expect to see it day and date, you know, with the DVD releases of movies. Yeah. They want you to buy the DVD, of course. But, you know, they can't wait 9 months for it to go from DVD. You know, because the critical period for DVDs, I think, is 21 days, you know, from launch to that's when they make the majority of their sales, and then the rest will happen during sale, actual sales, you know, down to $10 or $15. But after those 21 days, you know, they can do whatever they want with the property and not really worry about damaging it. I don't think they'll do 21 days. I think it'll be a couple of months, but it's not going to be like it is for you on Disney Live right now.
Well, the other good thing is, first off, with the movie, the DVD side of things, they've said that they're still going to carry on that. I think once Disney Plus is running, it'll be a bit easier. But like over here, the contract with Sky runs out in 2020. It expires. And so instantly then, if you remove, if you just remove a partner from that, all the movies then get freed up to no longer be under that system. And then the Netflix deal will probably as well have expired by then. So yeah, this is the thing. This is why when they said about the launches, they're having to do a staggered launch because different countries have different existing contracts. Like Canada and the UK had a different Netflix deal than the US. So all these deals all had to be wrapped up and sorted out and brought out and cancelled, etc. And it all takes time for them to do. And as much as we'd love them all just to go and have all the contracts go away, that doesn't necessarily what happens, or at least half of them.
Although we have seen that they are willing to buy out contracts when it suits them. But it's not going to suit them for every single contract. Some of them just aren't worth it.
No. So that is that's all the news for the week. So it's now time for us to talk about our feature topic, which, since it is May the 4th when we're recording this, it's got to be Star Wars. We've got to do some Star Wars discussion. And so first off, let's just confirm what is coming to Disney Plus. So we know we have got the classic trilogy. So that's A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. We know that we've got the prequels. We've got Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and we've also got Revenge of the Sith. We also know that Rogue One and Episode 7, The Force Awakens, will be on Disney Plus. I think they pretty much launched those ones. We also know that the animated series, Clone Wars and the Rebels, will be on there. We also know that the 2008 Attack Clone Wars movie is also on there as well.
Right, which is the basically the first episode of the Clone Wars television series.
Yeah, it was just the fact that they literally did put that in there as the on the official list of movies. They've been very clear about that one is in there. So what isn't on there? So Last Jedi and Solo won't be on there straight away. Last Jedi leaves Netflix in December, so therefore they've got, it could be on there in January. Solo has, don't think it's actually even got onto Netflix yet, so they've still got to wait another year. So I think they have said it'll be on Disney Plus within the first year, so it could be October next year. Solo's going to have to wait a while. Episode 9, as the new one, will be on there, but that won't be on there till probably next summer, because it's got to go through cinemas, through home video, before it comes on there. But it will be there on the first year. So that is confirmed. There's a number of things they haven't yet confirmed. A number of like the animated series, you know, there's quite a lot of different ones available. I was just going to have a look. It's like there's like Lego All-Stars was one. There was
Lego All-Stars, the Lego Freemakers. The hand-drawn animated Clone Wars series that predated the one that we think of when we think of the Clone Wars. You've got the Ewoks, you've got the droids, you've got the two Ewok movies, you've got the holiday special, which apparently doesn't exist in a physical form anywhere.
No, I'm just looking here on Disney Life. So we've got we've got that on there. They've got As Told by Emojis, and we've got a couple of Rebels TV specials.
I'm fine without the emojis.
Yeah, one. We've got All-Star Shorts, Freemakers, Droid Tales, and Adventures. So there's not a huge amount here already, but No Sign of Resistance, that hasn't turned up on here, but I'm guessing that will definitely be part of it. But yeah, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff. We obviously know as well, we've got The Mandalorian that's going to be available at launch on December the 12th in the US. And we've also got the other series based on Rogue One's Captain Cassian Endor. So lots coming, lots already confirmed. But yeah, just plenty of Star Wars stuff.
Oh yeah, plenty of Star Wars stuff. It's going to be probably the centerpiece of their at least first year, give or take. I realize it's going to be big. They've got the Marvel stuff coming on, and then the whole Disney back catalog, all of the animated classics that they're sticking on there, and classic shows, the new shows, and so on. But really, when you get down to it, the Star Wars lineup is pretty complete for what you would actually want to see in the launch. I think, obviously, the two missing movies, but we have a rough timeline. Yeah, exactly. The Ewoks, not The Last Jedi and not Solo. The Ewok movies and the holiday special. But yeah, other than those missing, you've got the TV shows, you've got the Mandalorian premiere, you've got all of the important movies minus Last Jedi and Solo. So that I think that Star Wars is going to be a major selling point for the first couple of months of Disney Plus.
It's one of those things of, I mean, obviously they're going to be dropping the TV series weekly. They've said that, and I think that's a good idea. But it's actually that kind of thing. If you take Star Wars for hour by hour, it's probably actually one of the weakest of the five core brands in terms of content. The amount of content is a lot less than the other four brands. But the quality level is much higher, and I think we are going to see a lot more. I'm hoping that we see this new animated series. I think the Galaxy Adventures, these little shorts. I think we'll see stuff like that. I'm also, and this is interesting, is I'd love for them to also put things like Star Wars show that they do every week on YouTube. It just won an Emmy apparently overnight. Something like that, which is a weekly show, and I know Marvel do something similar of like utilizing some of this stuff that they're making for YouTube. Could be used as well, and it might not be a lot, but if they do a weekly drop of something like that, it just continues to build on this library, and also it just keeps selling stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what it's all about, is selling stuff, right?
Yeah.
Even if it maybe doesn't have the same amount of hours as the core Disney or the Marvel stuff, Star Wars is a well-known brand. And simply having it there in your face as one of the icons right there on the homepage reminds you it exists. Yeah. And that's the ultimate objective, because when you remember it exists, your kids remember it exists, and they want you to go out and buy some Star Wars Legos or, you know, the play sets. And that's where the real money is. So, yeah.
But also, if they are dropping, say, for example, we've got The Mandalorian, say it's 8 episodes. That's 2 months worth of new Star Wars content coming in weekly. And then you're going to have the Clone Wars animated series. And then obviously we're going to have Resistance as well. Now, if they can line this up, they can actually have probably half the year with actually having new Star Wars content dropping in. If we've got the other series and the other movies and other stuff dropping in, they can continue just to keep building up this library. And they talk about having, this idea of resting the Star Wars, and I'm looking there going, you're not resting it, you're just shifting it online to, because the movies, it's like there's even been rumors of, and these rumors have been going around for ages of, like one based on Knights of the Old Republic era, and
Boba Fett, Yoda, General Kenobi,
there's so many different things that they could go on with here, and there's just. The television shows are a lot easier for them to stretch out. The animated series can also stretch out. And if they've got two completely different, because I'm sure they're going to do something as well after Clone Wars finishes. I think they're going to do something along those same lines of get Dave Filoni on something new, something interesting, because they are a lot easier for them to keep going and a lot cheaper than the live action shows. But they do tie in and look. As someone who is now a convert, I can kind of tie into this idea going, they should really kind of, they can do this really well, and they can sell a lot of stuff on these movies, TV series.
Yeah, and like I said, that is the ultimate objective. sell. That's what they want. So,
I am expecting today, as of obviously the time of recording, nothing yet has dropped. But I am, if I will be very disappointed if we don't get the trailer from Star Wars Celebration, from The Mandalorian or The Clone Wars or both over this weekend. If they don't do it, it's a, I can't see why they wouldn't. But if they didn't show off at Star Wars Celebration to the public, this weekend seems like the perfect opportunity to do it. But I could be completely wrong. But I am got my eye on that because I'm expecting a drop at any point today.
I would like a proper Mandalorian trailer. I know what they showed at Celebration was more of a sizzle reel, a lot of behind the scenes stuff. There was some actual footage, you know, with the post-production done, but most of it was behind the scenes talking to the cast. I would love an actual proper trailer of that. Clone Wars, you know, always welcome to have a trailer for that as well, but we kind of already know what to expect with Clone Wars. It's the final season. It'll have Ahsoka, Darth Maul, you know, the standard cast. And we're already invested in it, or you're not. One way or another, you already know where you stand on that trailer. That's more of a reminder that it's coming out. Whereas The Mandalorian is still new.
I think my view is the fact of them releasing a new one would be great, but I feel like they didn't release the last two. And they put all that effort into making those trailers, and obviously, and you've put them up there on like panel shows, but you still can't get in there and watch the full HD version. It will create another PR beat. I mean, Star Wars Day is always a bit of an odd one because a lot of like today we've had lots of pop vinyls and Lego sets and stuff like that. They're all being announced and stuff, and action figures and video games are on sale, and you know. There is stuff going on, so they might be like, well, it gets busy enough as it is with Star Wars Day. But you just kind of feel like, well, if you didn't show them off at Star Wars Celebration, why wouldn't you do it now? Otherwise, they're just going to be lost to the panels and never be seen ever again.
Yeah, I mean, this is the weekend to do it. And we have kind of the assumption was that some of the things they held back from public release at Celebration was for May the 4th. If they don't do it here and now, I don't know when we would expect it. And it wouldn't make the same impact because this is Star Wars weekend. And as sad as it is, you know, with Peter Mayhew also passing a couple days ago, it's now is the time when the word is out about Star Wars. Strike while the iron's hot. But
and also as well is essentially it's not really going to cost them very much because they've already produced it. Right. And also, like San Diego Comic-Con and D23 aren't taking place till end of next month. And I think D23 is August, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So they've got that. We're still another 6-8 weeks from there. I'm fully expecting us to see the proper trailers and stuff at D23, but that's still another, that's so far away. It should be interesting to see where they go. I am hoping for something today. Obviously, if we do, we'll talk about it next week. But as of time of recording, we haven't seen it yet. But yeah, there's a lot of just fun stuff of Star Wars around. And, you know, that huge back catalogue just being there and being available on demand constantly. I imagine there's going to be a lot of people just watching it on repeat and watching it multiple times.
I will.
Yeah.
I mean, no question. So
yeah, it's just the fact that it's always going to just click on there. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. I mean, it's like for me, I brought Star Wars on VHS twice. Actually, was it twice? No, three times. I brought it on DVD. I then brought them again on Blu-ray. I'm refusing to buy them digitally. So now I've got them on the stream service. So it's that kind of thing. Of, I have seen, it's like, it just keep bringing it up. They could keep selling it to us over and over again. And it's like having them on the streaming service constantly. That's just going to be there. And it will just continue to get views. And there's always going to be that gateway now of people going, you want to get in? That's it. There you go. Box set, ready to go. And you're in.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on the way you want to watch it. Like, for instance, I own almost all of the Marvel movies, from Iron Man up to Infinity War. And the reason I own them is because I know I'm going to watch them enough times to make it worthwhile. I own, I actually surprisingly don't own the Star Wars movies on Blu-ray, except for Rogue One.
Yeah.
I just never bought the other sets. At this point, I'm waiting to see if like a 4K set will come out at a reasonable price. But even then, I've seen the movie so many times, I don't actually need to watch them.
Yeah, it's fun. It's interesting because I've spent the other day in my storage unit, literally clearing out bits and pieces. I picked up 3 DVD players and were like, and put them into recycling because it's like, we haven't used them. Because I've got a PlayStation because I've been using it there. But it was like, and we're literally, I'm doing a, going to be a brutal cull of DVDs. I've already done half, but I need to get the half down to a little bit. And to be honest, I'm probably going to just keep Blu-rays or keep my Marvel, Star Wars, Disney movies. That's pretty much going to be the only thing. I'm just going to clear stuff out because this idea of having this stockpile of cupboards and shelves of physical media, it's just like, okay, I've moved 3 times and I don't know if I've actually watched them because you just flick onto Netflix and go, oh, there it is. I'll just watch that instead. You don't have to get up. You know, it's just that kind of thing. And I think that's what's going to happen once they're all on Disney Plus is I'll just be like, yeah, it's nice having them. You know, if they, you know, when contracts run out and all the rest of it, I will still buy Rise of the Skywalker or whatever. I can't remember what the new one is. Was it
Rise of Skywalker? No, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll buy that one again. But my idea of buying movies has severely reduced to the point where I'm only going to be buying the core ones. And I think Disney know that this is a trend that's happening. You know, their DVD sales and Blu-ray sales are dropping. They still want that digital purchase and the big digital rental line. But they know it's dropping. And that's why they're moving over to this streaming service, because they know where it all is. They don't want that sat on Netflix with them getting the continuous things. They want their own money from it.
Of course. I mean, that is the objective of every company ever. And it's why we see such a splintering in the market, why Disney Plus isn't the only streaming service that's being introduced this coming year. And every single channel on the planet is trying to develop their own streaming service. And not just the channels, Sky, Comcast,
Hotstar, you know,
yeah, they all want it because you make more money when you own the distribution platform.
Yeah, and this is going to be something that's going to be coming up, and people are going to have to get their heads around this. Is because I saw this article about kind of saying, you know, how millennials can't have what they want when they want because of existing contracts, because the idea of you go on there and go, I want to watch all of the Marvel movies in order, from start to finish, all on Disney Plus. And you go, well, there's a load missing. Yeah, sorry about that. There's some contract issues that we haven't sorted out yet. You know, and that's going to be the big issue going forward, is there is going to be contract issues and they're going to have to be bought out, paid for. And then there's going to be that issue of, like, is it worth paying them out for? You know, I suspect Sony and Paramount seem to have done deals with Disney. Universal might not play the same thing when it comes to the Hulk movie. You know, it really depends on each individual company and also whether or not Disney are willing to pay for it, if they see there's value in that area in terms of subscribers and stuff. Certain companies are looking to try to benefit from having these other streaming service. Sony have been very open about the fact that they don't want their own streaming service. They want to sell to other people. And there are a number of companies that are going, yeah, there's no point us getting in on our own streaming thing, because they know if they've not got that catalog, it's not going to be financially viable. And there is a real, not only is there a streaming war going on for subscribers, but there's also a content war going on with them trying to buy stuff from other companies. Netflix and Amazon and Apple are all going on spending sprees, and Disney are doing the same. I mean, Disney have announced so many television deals this week of signing in writers and showmakers, because there's money to be had.
There's plenty of money to be had. And it is true. It's not necessarily that these other companies don't have the back catalog for it. It's also, you know, as much money as there is to be made to own the distribution platform, it's also a whole lot harder. It's a whole lot more difficult. And for these guys, sure, they might leave a little bit of money on the table to not distribute their own platform. But that peace of mind of just going, you know, we provide the movie, Disney Plus or Hulu or Netflix. They handle everything else after we send them the video file. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. And I suspect as well as they are probably licensed, so there'll be end dates and stuff, so they still own them. But it does make sense. And I think as well, if, you know, if you had Sony and Paramount Plus exists in Italy, Nickelodeon Plus is in Greece, and there's loads of other ones all coming along. And it's just that situation of, you know, they are going to test the waters, see if it is, but they also know the consumer's only going to do it so much. And unless you are hitting out home runs constantly, and like Sony, how many movies are they releasing this year? 2-3? It's not enough to warrant people subscribing. Disney have got multiple ones. And I think Hulu is going to be benefiting once the deal with Fox's, with their system sorted out, because they're going to continue to get constant upgrades. Because you're seeing this very much clear as well. Fox is going to be producing, you know, nearly a monthly movie, or 6 weeks movie for Hulu eventually.
Right. And like I said, it's just easier for them to do it that way instead of trying to get in on the game themselves. I'm sure that they've all crunched the numbers and they've decided this is just easier for them.
Right, so that pretty much wraps up this episode of the What's on Disney Plus podcast. Let us know in the comments below which Star Wars movie you are most excited to watch again on Disney Plus. Love to know your thoughts. Remember to subscribe on audio platforms and on YouTube. Check us out over at What's on Disney Plus. Give us a follow, a like. It's great. You can keep up with everything there. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And again, thank you very much for watching. We'll be back next week. See you soon. Later. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
Laters.